I guess this is sort of an indication of what today is all about. Sharon and I thank the one who brought it to us. It is a wonderful day, not just for the Easter Bunny and chocolates and such, but it's just a wonderful day because, you know, this is the day that Christ arose from the dead. So, this morning we're going to look at the chapter of Luke, the last chapter, chapter 24. And we'll look at it in light and try to see it through the eyes of those who were actually there and who saw what went on. Now, there was a very zealous, soul-winning young preacher. He came up to a farmer who was working in his field. He was concerned about the farmer's soul, and he asked the man, "Are you laboring in the vineyard of the Lord, my good man?" Not even looking at him, the farmer said, "No, these are soybeans." "You don't understand," said the preacher. "Are you a Christian?" He says, "No, my name is Jones. Jim Christian lives down the road." Determined to try to reach the man, the young preacher said, "Are you lost?" He said, "No, I've lived here all my life." "Are you prepared for the resurrection?" He was really getting frustrated now, trying to get through to this fellow. Well, that caught his attention. He says, "When's it going to be?" So thinking he's finally got an inroad with the old farmer, could be today, tomorrow, the next day. He takes a handkerchief out of his back pocket, wipes his brow, and says, "Well, don't tell my wife. She doesn't get out much, and she'll want to go all 3 days." Now, today is Easter, and many Christians celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And we celebrate it because it means we'll resurrect from being deceased someday. Let's look and marvel at its significance. Starting in chapter 24 of Luke, verse 1, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living with the dead?'" And it's really important because they went there. Now their teacher, their rabbi, as they said, had died. All their hopes and dreams of a restored Israel on its own were all dashed in those terrible moments just a few days earlier. And there they go. Now we have professional funeral directors and stuff like that that take care of these unpleasant tasks, but they had to go and take care of the task that they didn't get to finish because of the Sabbath. So they went out there in sadness and sorrow, having to do this deed and having to look upon their teacher one more time before they wrapped him up and then left from there. How terrible that had to be to have all your hopes and dreams dashed in that moment. But when they get there, they see that it's empty. And with the wonderful words, we don't think about it much, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" You know, we focus too much on the end of our mortal lives. Instead, focus on the life everlasting that each one of us who follows Jesus is going to receive. Because it's not an end, it's just a beginning. And it's forever and ever, living with Him in the glory in heaven. But following along again in our text, verse 6, they continue, "He is not here, but has risen." Remember how He told you when He was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered His words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. But you know what? Some of them still didn't get it. They were in such sadness then. Their whole life had been, the rug had been pulled out from underneath them. And everything they hoped and dreamed about was in shambles. And there they were at the end. So in verse 10, it continues, "Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Now Peter went over there, and still perplexed, he looks into that tomb. He sees the linens lying there, as if, you know, the body just disappeared from it, and just laying there in the form that he had been wrapped in. And he went back and marveled at it. To really understand and wrap his hands around it is almost, it's like trying to think of eternity. And wrapping your hands around God being there forever in the past and forever in the future and always existing. We're finite, so those things are kind of hard for us to comprehend. Things come, things go. They have a beginning and they have an end to us. So, he's perplexed at this. What is happening? And that's kind of the problem we see with some people. Some people don't get it, or they just don't want to get it, at just how great and wonderful it is. Now, it's one thing, they had seen Jesus raise Lazarus and all the miracles he did. But generally, if a person themselves was killed, they didn't resurrect themselves. That was something, I guess, too hard for them to understand. So, don't ignore it, and don't wonder about this great miracle that we have today. This great miracle that we have is very simple and is very plain. That Jesus came to bear our sins because we could not bear to be perfect in His eyes. And He died for us and rose again to show us and be the first of the resurrected so that we can rise again. So that we don't have an ending such as everything has in this world. But that we can follow Him into eternity and live with Him in bliss. Again, in verse 13, as we go on, that very day, two of them were going to the village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other and about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing Him. And He said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Again, their hopes and dreams were dashed. Like so many times in our lives that some of our hopes and dreams have been dashed. And we've faced challenges and we've faced struggles. And they were in that state there. They had lost their leader. But that's the problem of focusing on the world. Don't focus on the world, focus on the future and what it holds for us. Now, everyone's worried about what's happening in the world and the book of Revelation and all those kind of things and all that. And you know, we could discuss that on end. But the thing is, it really doesn't matter if you're ready. If you live your life walking in the footsteps that Jesus put out there for us, then we're going to walk into heaven and enjoy the promises that He gave to us. Look to the future. Don't focus on this world, because this world is going to disappoint us. Going on in verse 18. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you only a visitor, Jerusalem, who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God, and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. But him they did not see." And there's the thing. We have to have faith. That is why Jesus kept appearing and disappearing to them. Because he said he was going to have to die. And he said that he would be put to death by cruel men. And that he would rise in 3 days to walk again. To be alive, the firstborn. To be our Lord and Savior. Yet they walked dejected. They still thought of him as just a prophet. Just a wise man who amazed everybody there. So they went on, discussing the past and thinking about their future. But Jesus is trying to instill that they have to have faith in Him. Verse 25, and He said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. So they drew near to the village, and when they were going, He acted as if He was going further. But they urged Him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. So He went in and stayed with them. When He was at the table with them, He took the bread and blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the Scriptures? We have to have faith that what we believe in is real, that it's out there, that when we look at the sky and the stars, and we look at everything, you know, everything rots and rusts and decays if we don't take care of it. People would tell us that, well, something defied that law of physics, and all of a sudden all this sprang up. No, there's a God and a creator. There's a watchmaker out there that created all this and made all this that we can see. Our faith is faith, but it's not complete blind faith. We can see around us that things were designed. And Jesus revealed that to them, that He could rise from the dead, and that all these scriptures that He fulfilled, and there's a whole lot. We have to have faith and believe that what we believe in is real. In verse 33, and they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what happened on the road and how He was known to them in the breaking of the bread. You know, understanding and faith is not always easy. And we can see that process here as they learn more and Jesus revealed more to them that they could have faith in Him, that they could believe in Him, that they could believe that He has risen again, as the Scripture said. It's a process. We have to work on it. And the more we study, the more we learn, the more we'll know. And one funny thing, I know I've said it before, but it still amuses me, Lee Trevino, the golfing great, he said, you know, the more I practice, the luckier I get. And that's kind of true. The more we study, the more we learn, and the more we're going to have faith. It doesn't come by praying for it and having it dropped in your lap without any other processes there. God can certainly help us in that respect. But we have to apply ourselves to the Word and learn it. And that way, we have an unshakable faith. Going on in our text in verse 36. As they were talking about these things, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, Peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And He said to them, Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See My hands and My feet? That it is I Myself, touch Me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they were still disbelieving for joy and were marveling, He said to them, Have you anything to eat? They gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate it before them. Then He said to them, These are My words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And He said to them, Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of My Father upon you. But stay in the city till you are clothed with power from on high. Jesus appeared to them, and they thought they'd seen a ghost, as they say. They still were living in that realm of disbelief that anything this marvelous could happen. Anything this great could happen. You know, sometimes we hear things in life and we just say it's too good to be true. And I guess they kind of thought the same about the events that had transpired those past few days. But here was Jesus, risen among them, opening their eyes to the Scriptures, showing that He fulfilled everything that was said about Him. Verse 50. Then He led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting His hands, He blessed them. While He blessed them, He parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. They got it then because they got down and worshipped Him. You know, they called Him teacher and a great prophet before. But now they truly knew who Jesus is. And now they know that we're no longer separated from God, and despite our failings, He still loves us and wants to have a place in our hearts, just as we have a place in His. Jesus in those 3 days paid the price for our sins and overcame the penalty of it. What a great day that was, and it is a day that makes all the following ones bright and hopeful for you and for me. That each day we can walk knowing that we've been restored to God. Not perfectly like we'll be in heaven, because God cannot be with that close to the imperfect as we are still. But through Jesus, we're reconciled to Him, and someday we'll be back in that Garden of Eden that's called heaven, where God watches over us and takes care of us, where there'll be no more tears, where there'll be no more shadows, where there'll be no more darkness, where there'll always be sunshine. That's the bright and beautiful place that Jesus, on that very day when He appeared to them, let them know. I'll leave you with this morning, and this comes from John chapter 20. In verse 15. In John 20, and starting in verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing Him to be the gardener, she said to Him, "Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you have laid Him, and I will take Him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to Him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. That was their impression of Him before them. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." I thought it was neat and great that He said, "Our Father and our God." He's the Son. He's the heir of all that. Philippians 2 brings that out so abundantly to us, what He gave up. But He adopts us, and we are yet with our Father, and we are yet with our God, just as Jesus is. How great and wonderful that day was. How it changed everything forever and ever. And I guarantee you one thing, if they had lost their leader and He had not come back to them, do you really think they would have went out with the power that they had and preached, being cut to ribbons by the Romans at the behest of the Jewish leaders, and being used for sport in the Colosseums and being burned at the stake? Do you really think a movement like that could continue without those actual witnesses believing in that? No one would believe a lie. No one would believe a mystery. But there we are. Here we are, these almost 2,000 years later. And we look at this event that changed their lives. And it can change our lives and change every day from this day forward if we're not in His kingdom. And if we're backslidden, it can change every day forward. It's a great and wonderful thing to be a Christian today. It should bring a smile on our face. It should make our walk just a little bit more happier each and every day until we walk into heaven, to be with the saints, to be with God, to be with Jesus, never to be troubled by the problems this world has to throw at us. Never to have all the sickness and the health problems and the job loss and the disappointments in life that we have. There's a lot of disappointments, but that day was not a disappointment. It turned from being disappointing to them until the greatest day they ever had in their lives. And it should be the greatest day in our lives too. I don't know what your condition is this morning, or if you have need of the church, but won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?